Everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad to have you here tonight. This broadcast is put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we empower parents to teach unique learners and unique learners in their homes. And so, so every month we focus on a different topic, and as we do that, we just bring on special guests and we talk about different topics every month based on some things that just would be great to know about or information that would be helpful in being able to homeschool your struggling learner at home. And this month, the month of May, we're focusing on outdoor learning and how do we make that more effective? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is creating successful outdoor learning experiences. And so this broadcast is put on by our sponsors and also by viewers like you. We are a nonprofit, and if you want to be able to support our ongoing broadcasts, we have a way for you to donate. If you go to our website, you can scroll down and there's a donate button there, and you can donate there, or you can donate on Facebook as well. And that that money goes into just making these broadcasts happen, helping to put resources on our website, and a whole bunch of other things. So anyways, I'm still waiting for my guest to arrive, so I'm hoping he shows up. Otherwise, this is going to be a very short show, because I don't know how much that I have to share with you about outdoor learning. I probably can share a little bit. But anyways, while we're waiting for my guest, Dr. Daniel Franklin, to arrive, I would love to have a conversation with you. And that's why we broadcast live. So if you're watching on YouTube, on Periscope, or on our Facebook page, you can comment down below the video and we can see that. I can see that. And we can bring that into the conversation. So if you have any questions, comments about outdoor learning, what do you do? That's always a good question. And then also, if you have someone that may be starting homeschooling, or maybe has been homeschooling for a while, they're figuring, how do I get my kids outside? What do we do to enjoy this beautiful weather? I don't know where you live, but you can definitely comment on that. Let me know where you're watching from, and also just what do you do to get your kids outside? How do you make learning successful for your family? So it looks like Dr. Franklin is here. And so I'm going to pop him up onto the screen and we are going to get this conversation going. Welcome. Oh, you're muted. You're going to have to turn your microphone on. There we go. I think I can hear you now.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Great to see you.
Well, you too. How are you faring these days?
I'm feeling really good. Yes, I'm cancer free, and feeling better than I ever have before. Actually, I'm stronger than I was before all the mess happened. So, it's been good.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, you look great, and it's wonderful to be speaking with you this evening.
Yes, you too. I had a little monologue going on with with my viewers while we were waiting for you. And so I told them I was going to run out of content really fast. So it's good to see you. I think the last time you were on my show, it was, I think you said, August of 2019. So before all this pandemic stuff started. And yeah, so a lot has changed. Well, I'm glad to have you back.
Well, it's great to be here. And forgive me for being tardy. I was staring at the screen and waiting, not realizing there was one more button for me to click. Forgive me for that. I was up and ready to go quite some time ago, but I'm here now, excited to be speaking with you and your audience as well. And I know your audience should feel free to reach out to me at some point. I'm sure you'll provide them with contact information for me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll get them connected to you and your services, and tell them about your book and just all the wonderful things that you have to help parents with struggling learners. So that we definitely will do. But and I can put that up just quickly. Franklin Education Services, and if you're listening on the podcast, it's franklined.com. So you can find that, and we'll have you talk about that as we are wrapping up too. So we'll dive into that. But the last time we talked, we were talking about language-based learning disabilities, and I had this opening for outdoor learning and heard that you wanted to talk about that. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share, because I threw some questions together, but I feel free to take rabbit trails with this. So we can talk about just about anything on, you know, creating successful outdoor learning experiences for kids.
Absolutely. And I spent my life outdoors. I grew up camping and hunting and fishing. And awesome. I continue to spend a lot of time out in the wilderness. I enjoy the mountains. I enjoy the desert. I enjoy marine environments, walking beaches and estuaries and salt marshes. There's really nothing better than being outside for any person of any age. And there's actual science, scientific evidence that shows that exposure to being outdoors and in the wilderness promotes all kinds of important cognitive skills and a sense of health and well-being. So I'm a very big advocate of getting outside and doing things outdoors. Are there certain things that I can share with your audience in terms of ideas, and maybe you want to go by age ranges or certain interests?
Yeah, I'm up for anything. So, but that would be good, because I think we hit different demographics of parents and families, and sometimes we can, you know, just stick in a certain niche, and then parents are like, well, what do I do with this teenager, or what do I do with my preschooler? Because they aren't going to do the same types of things. But, you know, we have big families too. And then how do we include everybody in activities as well?
So that can be really challenging, especially when there's a wide age range. And sometimes if it's a really wide age range, you know, there's probably going to be certain events that are more suited to older kids and certain things for younger kids. Now, now, even the youngest child with appropriate support and help and maybe being carried, be out on a wilderness trail, as long as it's level and flat. And also, you want to choose environments, especially with especially young children, where there's not going to be a lot of insects and bugs and things. Yeah. Older kids are a little more robust, a little more resilient.
That's true.
And in those environments where there's mosquitoes and butterflies and horseflies and spiders is not.
Although my 16-year-old still can't handle the spiders.
So when we're with older kids, you know, of course we want to be sensitive to what their needs and interests are as well. Mm. And there are some kids, young kids, who love to be outdoors, but they want to be on a beach. They want to be, they're here in Southern California, where I'm speaking to you from, are amazing botanical gardens. They're immense. And you can walk for hours and still not see all of them. So getting out, and I know even in Texas, where you are, you are correct. And a couple of years ago, I was visiting with my family there in Texas, and we spent a day in Dallas, where there's just some exquisite botanical gardens. And those can be environments that kids can enjoy and love being in, that are a little more, you know, they don't present as many of the challenges that maybe being up in the mountains and being in a rugged terrain where there might be a lot of insects. But there are some kids who prefer that, who want to be up and out and away. There's a real exhilaration that teenagers get when they're with a small group and in a challenging environment. We want to be safe and take safety precautions. But, you know, getting up into the mountains and on mountain trails and with proper supervision and training and oversight, spending a night there or two or three, are things that some older kids can really enjoy.
Yeah. We took my sister and I, we had 4 13-year-olds because all of our kids and nieces and nephews were all the same age. And we took them up to the Boundary Waters canoe area for a week. And, you know, you just pack in all your stuff and they enjoyed it so much. But it was nice to have that same age group where we're all kind of at the same level enjoying that experience.
Yeah, something to do outdoors would be, you know, trails and hiking and botanical gardens and, you know, visiting deserts and so forth. But another way to get kids outdoors and having fun is to do sports, getting them out there in the summer months, get them out on the beach or out on the field for volleyball or soccer or softball or doing things in the water, sailing and swimming and boating and surfing and doing things in all different environments that and doing a sport-related activity is sometimes gives an incentive for kids to get outside. Here in Southern California, we have a lot of trail races, organized trail races and runs. My nephew, who is from Texas, I know he's competed in a lot of triathlons of various lengths. There are some triathlons that are quite manageable. They're short swim, reasonably short run, reasonably short cycle ride. And that's something that got him very motivated to do things outside.
It's just, there's so many different sports. I think when we think sports, we think, you know, baseball, football, you know, soccer, but just those lifelong sports, the ones that they're going to take into adulthood, you know, and focusing on things like that maybe even kids with physical disabilities, like you talked about sailing, you can get kids on a sailboat. I know there's even sailing groups that'll take kids with disabilities out to show them how to do that. So there's just a wide variety of things if we open up our mind to what sports are and how to get outside. So those are some great suggestions. Love that.
You know, in addition, you know, if locomotion is a challenge, as it is for some individuals, riding horses or taking mule rides. And, and of course, then there are motorized vehicles are done safely. ATVs can be a nice way to get out and about. And there are lots of guided tours for children, teens, and young adults with visual impairments that can still be very exciting. And fragrances and sounds and other experiences we can have in nature, even if we are lacking one of our senses or another, or in some cases, more than one.
Yeah. I didn't even think about, you know, the senses and how, because inside we don't think about that as far as learning, but just engaging the whole body in the process, and getting outside does that, because you've got so many environmental things that you're not controlling that your kids are experiencing. So those are some, love that. It's great. You know, as far as getting kids outside and, you know, what if parents tend to not be the outdoorsy type and they're kind of thinking, well, what do we do that, you know, how would you even get started or know what to even tap into that's in your community? And what have you done or do you know about?
Well, fortunately, the internet has just become a wonderful resource now. Yeah. And if you're parents and you haven't done a lot of things outside, you'll find quite readily a lot of groups will welcome you to join them. Those of us who spend a lot of time outside, as I do, we love being the guide and being the person who helps someone learn to enjoy a new activity outside in nature, another sport. Like sailing. I taught sailing for a number of years and I really enjoyed that. And those of us who teach sailing and boating love the opportunity to teach. And it's important not to be shy about getting lessons from other adults. I'll tell you, I was taught sailing for years. I love teaching sailing to someone who'd never been sailing before. Many instances, I'd never even been in a boat, but it brought such joy to my heart to share with someone for whom sailing was brand new. And those of us who teach sailing or boating skills or hunting or fishing skills, we love introducing these sports to people who've never done it before. And if a parent wants to learn a little bit about those sports before taking their children out to enjoy them too, find someone like me who really loves the opportunity to share the joy of outdoor activities.
That's great. Yeah. The neighborhood we lived in before this one we lived by Lake Conroe in Texas, and it's a huge lake where they do sailing. And I don't know if you know the app Next Door. So like neighborhoods get together. So a guy just posted on there, "I love to sail. Anybody want to try?" So my husband and daughter signed up, they learned to sail, and then we bought a sailboat. Just like you said, I mean, people just want to share, and it's so cool. You start connecting more with other people, get outside, and you just start to learn new things you can do together.
My nephew, when he started doing triathlons, he was brand new to them, and he was really impressed by how welcoming the triathlon groups he started with. He found like an introductory level group. Those of your listeners who are wondering how to engage, have a lot of faith and confidence that those out there who are offering a helping hand mean it. We really want to hear from you and see you and have you contact us. So we can share with you the great joy of outdoor activities and sports and recreation.
It's amazing. I was on a women's retreat last weekend, and all these women signed up to go paddleboarding. None of them had been on a paddleboard before. And I was like, oh, I own a paddleboard. So I ended up teaching all of them how to paddleboard. But it was fun. Can't do much on a little lake. But they had a great time. So, yeah.
Paddleboards,
kayaks are great.
Small sailing boats, the sailfishes and sunfishes, rowing, and obviously there are motorized water sports vehicles as well, jet skis.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to be by a new body of water, but even so, you know, like you were talking about before with the botanical gardens, you know, even those are great because they have, like you were talking about, the paths that aren't, the terrain doesn't change a lot. And so they have even sometimes handicap accessible pathways, so that even if a child's in a wheelchair or another family member, that you can access and be outside in those types of environments. So, yeah. And I think we've even seen camping. They have handicap accessible campsites. I've seen those recently too.
A few years ago, our family went out to visit the Sierra Mountains. And what we did is we had different hotel locations at different spots as we moved from south to north up the Sierras. And then during the day, we have two or three or four different stops for short walks. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice way to see a lot of
a large
environment. And then, although I enjoyed camping a lot myself, for the convenience, we just stayed at various inns and hotels and Airbnbs and a different assortment, frankly, bed and breakfast along the way. And we had two cars because there was a lot of us. And it was a lot of fun.
It's a progressive kind of just vacation. So, and it's good to get out and stretch your legs because those long days in the car and you don't see anything, you just see it from the window, you know, passing by. Might as well experience it and enjoy little stops along the way.
Oh, you got to get out and walk around and enjoy the trails and nature and being able to experience air and a wind and a rain, even. Sometimes it's fun to be out hiking in the rain. So I love running in the rain, for example, and enjoy the weather.
Yeah. Well, it cools you down, definitely. So, you know, what is the importance for like a child's brain in getting outside? And because I think the mindset that we get is that I need more educational materials for my child. I need to teach them more. And so going outside just seems like a waste of time. So if they're, and especially, you know, we see this with kids that are in the population that are struggling. And a lot of parents are like, but we got to drill and we got to do this. And maybe we don't even have time for that. But I think you're going to tell me that that's probably the wrong way to be thinking.
Well, so here's something important to know about our brain and how they develop. Our brains developed long before there were schools and roads and buildings and maps. Our brains actually develop to learn to navigate the environment. Our brains develop to learn how to navigate the land and to know where to find things you need, like where is water, where is food, where is safety, where are my kin, where is danger. Our brains evolve or develop over time to be able to navigate the environment. So whenever we are out in the environment and whenever children are out there, their brains are actually doing what they're really designed to do so well. I believe to this day, one of the reasons hunting and fishing, for example, are so popular is it taps into part of what our brain was developed or designed to do on a daily basis. And so when we have children outside in the environment, we give them an opportunity to allow their brains to do what it was really designed to do, which is navigate the environment, to study the trees and the rocks and the land, and to make note of the clouds and pay attention to the environment. And this allows a brain to grow in critical ways that it otherwise might not. And brains are amazing. If you get brains growing through any means, you have a lot more equipment to work with as you go out into other environments too, right back into the classroom or on a job or managing any other challenge or task.
Yeah. I think I've heard it said before that, you know, even to just take short breaks to go outside and just not be constantly doing, and just, you know, take those breaks even as an adult. It's important, but so much more important as kids. Their brains are just not meant to be doing workbook pages and reading and all of this constantly. So yeah, I think that's some great things to remember, that they learn so much just by observing and being outside, because things change. Like you said, even the clouds, they're moving. They're not consistent. And what are they learning through that process about, you know, wind flow and just so many things that are tough concepts to describe, yet you just absorb them.
You do. Change. It's another thing our brains are designed to pay attention to. Change. And if we're in a room inside, not a lot changes in many instances. But when we're outside, everything changes, especially if we're walking or cycling or running or skiing or moving or boating. And it's really helpful for our brains to experience that, because they're designed for that purpose, to make note of change. What's novel? What's different? What's new? And these are yet other reasons why being outdoors is so wonderful for children of all ages.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, getting them into environments that they're not used to, like you were talking about, you know, just taking trips. And so pulling them out of that normal. And then you have even more to observe, that, you know, just even different animals, different types of trees, you know, the whole landscape changes. I think when we moved from Minnesota to Texas, the one comment my kids were like, the sky is bigger here. You know, now I don't know why, but it just seems bigger. Everything's bigger in Texas, right? But
last weekend, my sister-in-law went on a guided bird watching tour. And her email to me was fascinating, the things she saw and experienced and learned about. And that's yet another wonderful thing to do outdoors. If it's someone who, you know, a kid who wants to do something that's a little different than, say, camping or you know, swimming or sailing or boating.
Right.
Bird watching can be fascinating. There's lots of sanctuaries, and any sanctuary typically is going to be staffed by someone who cares about birds and is eager to show people around.
And to just learn about all those different animals. I know my neighbor is an amateur bird watcher, and she has her big camera, and she walks around the neighborhood just trying to catch pictures. And I've taken my daughter out with her camera before, and she gets frustrated when she tries to draw animals because they move. But cameras tend to work a little quicker, so she'll take that out and get pictures of different things. But
you really hit the nail on the head with cameras, because that's another way you can get kids interested in being outdoors, by getting them photographing or making their own video blogs. Being outside, and short videos are really, really exciting and fun ways for children to experience the being outdoors in the wilderness.
And you know, it's good for kids to video themselves. I've even seen some, you know, like do obstacle courses and they'll videotape themselves. But it's like those sports coaches, you know, they videotape their team and then they show them, this is what you did wrong. You know, because when you see yourself in your body and then you're removed from that, they can learn so much by just watching themselves and seeing, oh yeah, maybe I didn't do that quite right. That's why I made that mistake, or my foot missed that. And so but that's another way to make it fun, I guess. So one question I was going to ask you, you know, with the trends with screen time and online learning and kids not moving around as much, what are the effects? Do you know anything about long-term, short-term learning and just how that affects kids by not having those experiences?
Well, first of all, I know it's been incredibly challenging. What has it been, 14 months now? Whatever it's been. It's been a challenging time. And the last thing I want to do is make anyone worry more than we've already worried. So is it optimal that kids spent as much time in front of screens as they have in the past 14 months or so? Clearly not. But is it going to do a lot of long-term damage? No. But are there things that we can do to make up for having spent so much time in front of screens? Yes. And this summer is a great time to really rediscover the outdoors, rediscover the value of play and recreation and doing things together as a family, or getting groups of kids together, whether it's in their Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or any other group of kids. And so I don't think parents need to worry that there's going to be long-term ill effects from the many months of more Zoom than any of us ever with. Or anybody, but I do. But I think that we can make up for lost time by increasing the amount of things that we do outside.
Hey, that's great advice. I love that. Yeah, we can beat ourselves up as parents and say, well, you know, why didn't I get them outside or do all these things? And it was a year we were just surviving, and to now be able to say, let's just put the books down. Let's put all of that down. Let's plan something this summer to get outside. I love that suggestion. And hopefully a lot of people were. Well, I know the RV sales have just skyrocketed. A lot of people are out camping. You can't even get campground sites. We had a battle for a campground site in one of the national parks. Within 2 hours, the whole thing after it opened up was full for the week we wanted to be there. So we got a space. But it's going to be crazy, I think, at the campgrounds this summer. And that's good.
it's a really good thing. Delighted mm-hmm. to know that families are getting out and are going out to parks and national mm-hmm. parks and getting outdoors and find any excuse you can to get in the car and go somewhere where you end up outdoors, at a beach, in the forest, in a desert, in the mountains, at a pond. There's a lot of other organizations that do things outside. So you can get outside and you can help restore areas of the environment that have been damaged. There's a group that are actually building, they just have discovered that beaver dams are critical to the health of meadows. And when beavers, beaver populations decrease considerably, there were no longer these beaver dams. And there are now groups of people go out and build these little miniature dams in creeks to create some stoppage. And these are the other ways that young people can get outside and enjoy the environment and find ways to contribute to the health of the environment that all of us benefit from so much.
Yeah, that's, if you got a builder, that would be a great thing for to get them outside, because normally they're just playing with Legos or whatever. And who wouldn't want to be, you know, building a beaver dam?
I know.
Sounds like fun.
What they actually do is they build them with rocks. And there's a real art and science to how these structures are made. And there's a name for the restoration project that I'm thinking of. And unfortunately, I can't remember the name at the moment. But it's the kind of thing you could almost certainly, with a little poking around on the internet, find groups that are doing this sort of work.
Yeah. I didn't think about, you know, hooking up with various groups that are doing projects outside, because that sometimes kids just need a purpose. Why are we going outside? You know, or I'm bored. I don't know what to do. And so so having, I guess, a something to go to or do, or a group to be with, or feeling like, oh, this has a purpose, or that's instead of just mom saying, get outside. I'm not tired of you being inside. Yes, you can do that too. I think, what was it, my guest last week, he said, it's okay just to shut the door and lock it. Say, just figure out something to do.
I came from a family of five, and there are many occasions when my mother just chased all of us out of the house and said, don't come back till dinner.
Right. Yeah. Some neighborhoods, parents are okay with that. And unfortunately,
when it's safe, it can be done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true. You know, if we're busy, a lot of us have busy schedules, and we feel like, you know, I've just got to fit in maybe some outdoor time between work and between kids' school, and maybe even summertime is, you know, booked. They've got various things their kids are going to. Do you have any suggestions for, well, how do we just start incrementally, you know, just getting outside, maybe together as a family, and just starting this process?
Routine, Peggy. We know that if you get into a routine, it's easy to stay in it. And start small. It could be every Saturday morning or afternoon, or every Sunday morning or afternoon. We're going to do something small and short in duration.
Right.
And then build up to longer duration. And then perhaps greater frequency. And this is if you're getting a lot of resistance. And I assume you're asking this question because you have framed the question for a family where maybe the kids aren't that interested in being outside. But if you start small and keep the routine, and humans are creatures of habit.
Yes.
And once we get accustomed to doing certain things at certain times, we actually want to be doing that thing. So if we say, yes, every Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, we go to this part for this hike on this trail. Or we will do this, you know, two afternoons a week after school or whatever it is. So begin to build a routine. And begin to get a sense of what is really appealing to your kids. You know,
yes.
You don't need a lot of variation. It might be they like to do the same thing over and over and over. And that's actually good.
Yeah.
Because, and so if your kids say, no, I like this park on this trail, and they don't want to do another park or another trail, that's fine. Mm-hmm. The point is getting outside and a routine will go a long way towards helping with that.
That's a great suggestion. You develop those new patterns, those neural nets in your brain, you know, they start going to that instead of, well, let's just sit on the couch or just, you know, turn the TV on, or, you know, you have to replace something that you're already doing. And just those small habits. I love that suggestion that can build into a lot of things, and just paying attention to your kids. I think we tell homeschool parents that all the time is, you know, watch your kids, learn from them, and then follow their lead, because they sometimes just don't know what they're interested in, and to trying things out. So, yeah. So, you know, as far as, you know, activities, are there any that are better for the brain than others?
So this is a very good question you're asking. And the answer is yes. And the activity that a child is going to engage in with the most vigor is the best one. So it might be that a child loves shooting free throws in basketball, and they're really going to focus and engage in a high level. Now, that is going to be much more successful than taking a kid to a park where they are not going to be happy or engaged. Mm-hmm. So it's really about following the passions, looking at what really piques a child's interest. Mm-hmm. Or it might be a child hates shooting baskets, but loves being in a park and on a trail.
Right, exactly.
I've always said, if you want to know what's going on inside a child's brain, look at their outside of their body. If their bodies are energized and moving with purpose, you know their brains are too. And, and an active brain is a growing brain. And so if we have an activity and the child's body language is saying, oh, I don't like this. I'm not happy here. Oh, goodness. Not another walk in this, you know,
exactly.
arboretum or what. That's telling us a lot. So study your child's physicality, and that will tell you a lot about what outdoor activity is the best one for them.
That's a great way to look at it. I've never thought about that before. But yes, if they're engaged, it makes a huge difference than if you're just dragging them along. And sometimes, I don't know, my 20-year-olds, I'm still trying to figure out what they enjoy. Although one just got a VR headset and he is like sweating with this thing on and going on adventures. So that it's getting him moving. I'm just happy. But yeah, they're all so different. And so, you know, they all can't be happy, I guess, on a family trip, but, you know, you can kind of appease one here and there. And have you ever done that? You know, how do you manage that with your own kids? Just, you know, family activities. How do we all get a little something that we need?
It's challenging, and there's a balance. And sometimes, especially as kids get older, and they're naturally inclined to want to seek separation and independence. And in those instances, maybe beginning to find other groups of young adults for them to be with. And I know it can be sad at times when we can't be together with our older children. And because we want to be with them more than they want to be with us. but actually that's a good sign. We want to see that in young people. We want to see them craving the company of people other than family members, because that's how we grow as a society.
That's a very good point. I think it's, yeah, especially as homeschool, longtime homeschoolers, they have a really hard time letting go of their kids that are getting older. And just, I even remember just having a conversation with someone who wasn't a homeschooler, and she's like, it's just weird. We're going on vacation without a child, you know, and you just have, as a parent, you just have to get, that's the phase. It's just something that we do. And so, yeah.
Those are natural, healthy feelings to have as a parent. Mm-hmm. It's normal to miss what meant so much when children were younger. Mm-hmm. My brother tells a story when his youngest child, he drove his children to school every day. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly one day he was driving his youngest child to school thinking, oh goodness, this is the last day I will ever be driving a child to school.
Oh my goodness.
How incredibly wistful he was.
Yeah, well, like you were talking about earlier, we get into those patterns and we don't even think, you know, as a parent, this someday will come to an end.
I know.
Going to find a new pattern.
Yeah. Life so, is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, we just have to figure out those. And you know, as we're coming out of this pandemic, I think we have that opportunity. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, just opportunities we have ahead of us and being able to take advantage of that with teaching our kids and learning and growing together?
Well, we can all be very proud of ourselves, one another, and very proud of young people who endured one of the most challenging years in decades.
Yeah.
And I believe that this generation of young people will be one of the strongest and best ever. I think this generation of special young people, the pandemic generation, learned resilience and learned creativity and learned resourcefulness and learned how to manage challenging dynamics and thrive, many of them, in the face of great adversity. And I think this was a true test. And I think the young people of our society have passed the test with flying colors. And I've never been prouder of young people than I am today. And this is a very special, strong generation. And we will benefit from all the challenges they so successfully navigated. And I'm excited for them.
I am too. Yeah, I'm glad you approached it that way, because I've seen, you know, we were in such a rote, this is what you do, this is where you go, this is what happens after you graduate from high school, and this is what, you know, happens after you graduate from college. All those things were broken. And I think it made our young people realize, and I have two young adults and a teenager in my house, and it has been a tough year for them, but they've gone, you know, inside, and it made them realize, I'm not just, you know, a hamster on a wheel, and there's things that I can do, I can change. And, you know, you hope that'll continue when things get going a little bit more, jobs are opening and all of that, but
it will. Yeah. This is an amazing generation of young people. Mm-hmm. Very proud of them. And I'm very proud of their parents and educators and everyone who endured these past months. And we do have just a few more months to go here. We're not entirely out of the woods, but we're getting mighty close, and it's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, in Texas, I spoke at my first live conference a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wonderful.
Which was amazing to see other people and to be able to interact. So,
wonderful.
So yeah, it's happening. So that's, it's encouraging. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Michael and Angela said hi on YouTube. So thank you for watching from there. And I'm sure we have other people watching from various other places, because we're broadcasting on Facebook as well as Periscope as well. So so glad that you are joining us tonight in this discussion about outdoor learning. And so some big takeaways have been, you know, Daniel, you were talking just about just enjoying spaces. I think even, you know, cultivated spaces, you know, mm-hmm. like those botanical gardens. But there's just so many places within our communities that are outside that we forget about, that we can take our kids to. I think we just think, well, that might be for a special occasion or whatever. But to make those regular habits as well, or to maybe just pick one off a list and go. So those have been some awesome things. And that there are times when we're not gonna be able to get outside as much, and that's okay, that that we can change our habits and definitely grow from those. So as we're wrapping up, is there anything else you want to share? And before we kind of share your resources and where people can find you.
Oh, well, first of all, thanks again for having me. It's always such a pleasure speaking with you. And I'm so enthusiastic about the amazing work you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm grateful to your audience this evening for participating. And presumably this will be recorded for future viewings and listening. Mm-hmm. And I welcome your viewers and listeners to reach out to me anytime. I'm very easy to reach. DanielFranklinPhD.com. It's all one. DanielFranklinPhD.com.
Awesome.
It's a really easy way to reach me. And it looks like you're holding a copy of my book. I'm looking around for.
I don't have it. It's on my bookshelf in another room.
I welcome. If you go to my website, you can read reviews of my book and so forth. I wrote my book for parents just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching your children and care deeply about the quality of life and your relationship and quality of education. So yes, any one of your viewers should feel free to reach me at DanielFranklinPhD.com. There's a contact me section, and just send me an email or provide me with your phone number.
Awesome.
And I'll get right back to you.
Great. Yeah. And Daniel's book, Helping Your Child with a Language-Based Learning Disability, it's so straightforward. You wrote it for parents and it's easy to understand. It's not, I mean, you get into the meat and potatoes, but you take out all that really difficult technical stuff. So we know what to do and how to help our child right away. And I love that. And Daniel also talked about that when he was previously on our show. So you can look back on our YouTube channel. And yes, this broadcast stays on our YouTube channel. It'll come out in a podcast on Sunday too. So our viewers can catch that either way, which those tend to be the more popular. But then you also have Franklin Educational Services.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. There's your book. Yep.
Yeah. I do. Yes. My website, FranklinED.com, where you can learn about my company and the wide range of educational services we provide nationwide. We do it virtually.
Yeah.
And we'd always done it virtually, but now we're doing it much more. So we have a very broad reach. We have outstanding teachers and tutors and educators who are really eager to provide specialized support to all kinds of learners of every age.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I was talking to a vendor at the conference I was at a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, we don't need to just take advantage of local people who are doing virtual teaching. He said, we have the advantage of taking advantage of the best, you know, because virtual is virtual. It doesn't matter if they're in your backyard or across the country or in another country. And I thought, yeah, why are we thinking that way? And so I love that you say that, is that you provide services that, you know, these exceptional services that anybody can access now that we're doing a lot virtual. So that's great. But yeah, well, this has been a great discussion. I hope it has really opened up people's ideas. And I thank you for, you know, sharing and just your enthusiasm for being outside. You know, it, as someone who likes to be outside, and I'm sure you had a lot of experiences growing up that got you, you know, just motivated to be outside. that's where it starts with our kids, is just giving them those experiences that they carry on the rest of their life. So, yeah.
It's very important. I'm so glad that you're giving this important topic airtime, because the outdoors is so wonderful and important to all types of development, social, emotional, brain development, you name it. The outdoors provides it when it comes to child development.
Yeah. And I think we focus so much on therapy and, you know, all of these things that we can, you know, nicely fit into our schedule. And yet it's just so beneficial just to go play. Okay. And so just to reiterate that for, you know, 4 weeks over and over again to parents, let's just get outside. It's important. So, but next week we are talking about taking therapy goals outside with Sarah Collins, who is an occupational therapist. And so that that's going to be our topic next week on our broadcast. But yeah, thank you again, Daniel. I appreciate our discussion and all that you had to share. And I know I've been blessed by just what you had to share, and I'm sure our audience will be too. So thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Many good wishes to you, your family, and all of your listeners tonight. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, Peggy.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you again next week right here, same time, same place, for Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And yeah, we'll keep talking about outdoor learning. So we're going to get you outside one way or another. So bye, everybody.
're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.